Christian greetings and blessings from Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 to 23, the very ending of the book of Philippians. And I wondered what God had for us in this. And I got to thinking that if we understand a little bit of what the words mean and if we understand how they were used and applied at the time, we might be encouraged to greet people and to offer blessings in a little better way, a little more godly way. Let's look first of all at greetings. I want you to notice the words being used here, Philippians 4, 21 to 22. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, the surprising part of this is that Paul's in prison in Rome, and somehow people of Caesar's household are caring about the Philippians. Now, we don't know who these people are, but Caesar's household refers to those who lived in Caesar's house. This word for household is different from what we would call household, but it actually means the place where he lived. Now, these could, of course, refer to relatives of the emperor who lived there, but I would think more likely it would mean soldiers who were stationed there, or perhaps even the household staff. It dawns on me that the very thing that we're talking about here, greetings and blessings, can make you a more interesting person to a lot of people that we just know on the fringe of things. I've begun to make it a policy, and it's not always easy because I don't hear things as well as I used to, to find out the name of the waiter, the waitress that's helping us. And then instead of saying, hey you, you can say, Anna, you know. I commented at the bank on a new teller there, and I said, Colleen, interesting name, sounds Irish. I said, are you Irish background? She says, very likely, I don't know, but very likely, a lot of us have red hair. I said, how about fiery temperaments? She says, well, I have to keep that under control. So you just enter in a little bit to some of the people, and I don't know, it just gives you an opportunity to interact in a way that probably, I'm just thinking, most people wouldn't take the time to do. Somehow, his being there, his greeting of people, his dealing with people, his handling of people, showed that he didn't think that they were below his notice, you know, that they were important as a person to him. I don't know that's what happened, but interestingly, people that were actually living in Caesar's house, whatever that was, whatever palace that was, actually were sending greetings to the Philippian church members. That's just amazing to me. But we pointed out that there were two different words, salute, then greet, and then again salute. Actually, these are the same words in the Greek. And they both mean, because they're the same word, to draw to oneself, to draw, to take somebody and pull them to yourself. Then it came to mean to receive joyfully, to welcome. There is something about that that is different from the socially distant thing we're doing today, you know, with the wave like this and so on, elbow bump, whatever it is. But I think we can go beyond even that in the attitude that we have without endangering ourselves or others. salute and greet, to draw one to oneself. You are attractive when you draw people to yourself. You know, attraction, like magnetism. That's what attractive means. If you think someone's attractive, it means you feel drawn to them. See? Now, the thing is, being attractive is not all about how you look. Praise the Lord. It is that which makes you more interesting to others. We have the example, and I'm going to give you two sort of contradictory things here, but Matthew 10:12, Jesus sent his disciples out and he says, when you come into a house, salute it. This is that word. He says, he's sending them out on ministry work, and he says, when you get invited into somebody's home to stay, they didn't have a Motel 6 and all that, so somebody would volunteer to have you into their home. When I was traveling with the seminary group, the girls that were singing and playing instruments, and I was preaching, we stayed in a bunch of things. There was one time that was just particularly funny to me because I stayed in a wealthy bachelor's house, and he was showing me his great collection of audio equipment where he had quadraphonic sound. That was a big thing back then. And you could almost hear, sitting in the room, you could almost hear the different band members playing, although they were invisible. You could hear them. You could hear where they were sitting and all that stuff. At the same time, all the girls were being kept by a blind couple who, the house looked like they were blind. They didn't know how to clean corners. They had a rebellious, sloppily dressed, younger teenage boy that would play rock music in his room late into the night when they were trying to get some sleep. And so the kicker came when my host was giving me part of his gourmet food that he loved to cook. They were getting hamburgers and French fries. Now, being blind didn't mean they couldn't do things, and they were quite capable. So they had cut the potatoes, but they had cut the potatoes sometime early the day before and let them sit until they fried them in the grease. So the French fries were green. They were not green with mold. They just, I don't know, turned a greenish color before they got fried. And but the hamburgers looked pretty good. And then the man was taking the ketchup bottle, the blind man took the ketchup bottle and felt it and so on, and he was going like this to get it onto his hamburger, and all of a sudden went bloop, and there was this big glob of ketchup that landed on the hamburger, over the bun, on his hand, down onto the plate, and he didn't know how bad that was, you know, so he's doing this, and, you know. Well, the whole thing just became a little bit sickening right there at the table. So they were giving me a call saying, how early can you come by in the morning and pick us up? I said, I've got this double bedroom to myself and beautiful music playing. I'm thinking maybe noon. And they were going, no, we have to get out of here. So people still do this. It's part of the Christian philosophy. Hospitality means entertaining strangers, a love of strangers. That's the Greek word. And it's not that they are strange. It's just that you don't know them personally, but you invite them in for Christ's sake. And it's a great thing. My dad got saved because my mom volunteered to house some of the Pillsbury Choir young men that had come to sing at our church. And sitting around the table after the service, they were asking my dad, the main guy was asking my dad about salvation. He decided to get saved right then and there. So I praise the Lord for the work of hospitality. But he says, when you come into a house, salute it. It doesn't mean you know, we think of this as a very military concept of salute. This person is giving up a place in their house for you, so draw them to yourself, you see. Salute them by personally connecting to them. Now, by contrast, Luke 10:7, he's sending out the 70. He said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, extra clothing, and salute no man by the way. What? How come? Well, the first one, they were staying at their house, and you salute them. These are people along the way. We begin to see what this salute thing's all about. It's Albert Barnes who explains to us, salutations among the Orientals did not consist, as among us, of a slight bow or extension of the hand, but was performed by many embraces and inclinations and even prostrations of the body on the ground, depending on how far you wanted to go. All this required much time, and as the business on which the 70 were sent was urgent, they were required not to delay their journey by long and formal salutations of the persons whom they met along the way. So we begin to see that the salutation is more than a hi thanks, you know. In Acts 20, verse 1, after the uproar ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. That's the translation of this same word, salute, or greet. Embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Trouble arose. He says, I don't want to be here to cause trouble for you folks. And so he embraced them. And the very concept of sorrowful leaving, he saluted them, you see. He greeted them. He embraced them. Acts 21:18-19. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James. This is when they've come to Jerusalem. They're now coming in to see Pastor James. All the elders were present, and when he, Paul, had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And so he comes back to the beginning church, the church of Jerusalem, that he had tried to stamp out when he was Saul of Tarsus. And now being hailed as a hero of the missionary field, he embraces, he salutes, he draws to himself these people, saying hello. Now, two other times that it's used, translated greet, but we see that there very likely could be more involved. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you, greet ye one another with an holy kiss. And then 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with an holy kiss. So this holy kiss, I think it's like more like the French, you know, the kiss. My pastor Tony Schlutz from, what was it, church?
Thompson Road
Baptist Church. Retired now, but he told us about visiting Russia and the Russian churches. And he said the guys greet you and they kiss you right on the mouth. Okay, that's a little too culturally diverse for me, you know. but that was their culture. And in this culture, there was a kiss, but probably I'm thinking not any kind of a sensual giving of yourself at all. So this thing is an activity that you do, and the heart meaning is to draw somebody to yourself. Now, any ritual can be taken lightly, can be done habitually. I've been very impressed with our Amharic friends and their greetings. Always just, I don't know, it just draws me to them, you know. And I noticed Nancy getting into it, you get a hold and then you come in and touch shoulders and so on, you know. And it's a literal drawing near, drawing people to you. And there's something so personal about that, that it's quite impressive and different from our culture, which we're nearly hands off and then a lot of Pyrrhics or whatever it is. We need to recognize, however, that it is not just this greeting. But secondly, it should be a meaningful greeting. Meaningful. Let me give you the commentators who are expressing this. Adam Clark says what Paul is saying to them, remember to present my affectionate wishes to every Christian at Philippi. When you're greeting, it isn't, hi, good to see you. How you been? You look like you lost weight. Those are nice things to say. But you want to express affectionate wishes. Matthew Henry says, give my hearty love to all the Christians in your parts. This is his interpretation of the word salute, you see. Matthew Poole, he doth friendly embrace and wish happiness to all and every sanctified one who is a member of Christ. And then John Trapp says, this would be a great encouragement to the meaner, meaning the lowly members, to be so respected. That's the thing that I've noticed, is that we live in a day when, interesting to me, that most people are walking around looking at their phone. Most people sitting at the restaurant across from each other are looking at their own phones. What are you doing? We're connecting. Yeah, but not with the people at your own table. What's up with that? See, I think I told you about driving through Broad Ripple one time, and there was a chalkboard out front, and it says, no Wi-Fi. Come in and talk to each other. The thing is, when you will meet the gaze of people walking towards you. As they're coming from the store, you're going to the store, or vice versa. In the aisle, I push the cart. It's my walker. helps me to get around at the store. And I push the cart. And my wife is pretty energetic and gung-ho, and she's out doing the thing. I'm just trudging along, you know. But I'm also watching, because I don't want to run into somebody who's pushing a cart and they're not watching out for me. And so I kind of look around the corner as I'm going past the aisle and that type of thing. And ever so often I find somebody who's coming out rather quickly, and then they go, oh, and they're looking at me, and they're apologizing. They don't know it, but they're apologizing by their face that they nearly ran into me. And that's when I stop and I smile at them and I said, it's a tough traffic area here, you know. And I make light of it. This is a way that you can just, what does that take from you, see? You can just give them a heartfelt wish. You can show that they are appreciated for who they are and what they're doing. Think through how you can do that, how you can say that. Don't imagine that you are so busy that you can't do it, because this is our job, this showing love to the world itself, the love of God. And so the concept of greetings, Christian greetings, is different from the world. The world says, hi, who are you, and can you help me in my goals? No, go away. And my goal is to indicate to people as quickly as I can that I think they're an important person. They're housing a soul that will live forever. And they could be my brother and sister in Christ. And I wish them truly well. Well, let's look at blessings, because the last verse in the book, verse 23, he gives them a blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You can see that the amen is saying truly, but it sounds like a prayer. And really, that's what it is, because it's a prayer that asks the Lord Jesus to give them grace. Now, grace refers to the gift of God when he offered salvation to us. He did not need to do that. Nothing demanded it of him except his own loving nature. Nothing forced him. There's no such thing. But he offered it to us out of love. And that is the gift of grace. It is a gift instead of wages. The world thinks that if they just do one more good thing, it'll erase all the bad things. They call that redemption. You can redeem yourself by doing the good thing to undo the bad thing. And God says it's not about all the things you do. It's about who you are. It's not about what you do. It's why you do what you do. Who you are dictates what you do. And so the problem is you, not just the stuff you do. So grace empowers the believer to both desire and accomplish God's will. We know this from Philippians 2:13. We talked about this earlier. For it is God which worketh in you. This is the inworking of God in you, both to will, the word meaning to desire, and to do. This is literally to have the ability of his good pleasure. You would like to please him. You would like to do what pleases him. You cannot without his grace empowering you. And you'll notice that in the verse, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that particular grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, was the very grace that died for us, that was willing to do that and actually did it. So a couple of things here. First of all, blessing, as we learn to bless, as he blessed, blessing is a prayer. Albert Barnes goes into some detail here. He says grace is the favor, the mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he says, if you're ever going to get grace and mercy, it has to come from the Prince of Peace. You see? And he gives us some examples. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Luke 2:14, the glory when the babe Jesus was discovered. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The proclamation of his coming. And John 14:27, Christ speaking himself, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He has the peace that he can give. So, Albert Barnes then says, this expression is a prayer to him. It's not wrong to pray to Jesus. We normally pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but it's not wrong to pray to Jesus. And it is with an earnest wish expressed. If you say, well, I don't know if it's a prayer. Well, it's an earnest wish expressed that may God do this. May the Lord Jesus Christ do it. And he said, compare it with this. 1 Corinthians 16:23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is wishing that it be with you. Revelation 22:21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so this is a wish that God's grace would empower you. And this is something I pray for me, my family, and for you every day. Blessing is a prayer. I want you to think about blessing others, as Paul was doing with the Philippians. Wishing, praying a blessing upon them. And then blessing is not limited. You remember that one of the Jewish young men said to Jesus, well, I believe that one of the greatest commandments is to love the Lord your God with everything you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's great. That's great. You've said well. And then he says, yeah, but here's the problem. Who's my neighbor? I don't want to be loving everybody, you know? So give me a definition of my neighbor so that I can see what circle to draw, who I don't have to love, who I'm supposed to love. And that's when Jesus gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said, the man that you come upon, who is at hand, who is in need, and you have the opportunity to help him. Which one was a neighbor? So, blessing is not limited. He says, with you all. In the Greek, the word all is plural, indicating all without distinction. Every single one. See? Matthew 5:44. Who should we bless? Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. The blessing is good words from you when you have received cursing words from them. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So I'm supposed to bless the people that are expressing their hatred to me. Yes. It's just yes. Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Paul takes up the mantra, Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. He says, I don't want double duty there. See? We'll find that again. 1 Corinthians 4:12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, this is where they just unload on you, can't say enough about you, bad, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We don't retaliate. We're not doing that. So being reviled, we bless. Do you realize how much wind that would take out of the sails of this guy who's reviling you? If you wish him the best, if you hope God blesses him, what's left to say? James points out what Paul was referring to. He says, therewith, speaking of the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. They're in the image of God. And he points out the ridiculousness of this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. I love this phrase. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It shouldn't be this way. And Peter then, as we close, looks at this. 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, unified, having compassion one of another, love as, or loving to the brethren, be pitiful. I've mentioned before that when people have personally irritated me, I find the best way is to pity them because they probably have turned a lot of people off. And after I pity them, then I can wish things would be better for them. Be pitiful. Full of pity. Be courteous. Don't forget good manners. Not rendering evil for evil. You get that idea? They've given you evil. You say, well, I give it right back to them. Don't do that. Or railing for railing. But contrarywise, just the opposite of that. Blessing. What do I give for evil? What do I give for their railing? Blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called. You were called to do this, that you should inherit a blessing. Bless as you have been blessed. Love as you have been loved. Forgive as you've been forgiven. It's hard to make that distinction, isn't it? Yeah, but they were mean. How were you to Jesus? How many times did you turn away from the one who is dying on the cross for you? many times did you say, I'll build my own life, thank you very much, I don't need you. We had no idea how much we needed him. Well, these people are fighting against themselves, and they're fighting against God, and you happen to be representing what they don't want. So understand that. It's very likely something that is a gut reaction with them. And it may be that love will turn that around. Let's bow for prayer. Father, how we thank you for your guidance to us, that we can give a greeting that actually seeks to draw people to ourselves, to our Christian heart, and to recognize we have words to say that can bring them to salvation. We ask, Father, you might help us to learn to bless, that the first response from our mouth ought to be a blessing, a prayer and a blessing, asking for God to deal with them in a loving way. Perhaps tonight, as you pray, you think, Pastor, it's a little beyond where I am. I'm more like the guy who hears a bad word and shakes a fist or repeats a bad word back. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let us give our heart to the Lord who gave his heart for us. Let us learn what it is to greet fellow human beings with the understanding that they are, in fact, going somewhere forever. Maybe we can lead them to Christ. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you would say, there is this in me, and I need this message to give of myself in greeting and to give of the Lord in blessing. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, amen. Father, then we see how often caught up we are in and of ourselves, and everything is judged by how it affects us, when actually we need to love others as ourselves and recognize that they're in a dire predicament. They are walking to the edge of the cliff. We need to pray for them, pray for grace for them. We pray that you might bless us then as we set out in and amongst other people. All the more cautious now because of the virus spreading around. We ask that you might help us then to see the value in people and see that first. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.